Welcome, everyone. This is the 8th edition of the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause. That is Bob Mackowitz. Bob, how you doing?
Doing great, Matty. You know, this is where our podcast begins to take a wait-and-see kind of turn. We went through the easy part of the schedule.
Yeah.
We went through May. We went through June. It was playoffs. It was free agency and the draft. But now the dog days of summer, Matty. It's maybe we could even just call this the wait-and-see episode of Macko and Cause.
See, this week there still is a lot.
Leafs, that's true.
Raptors, it is next week. Because the thing is, it's not a gradual drop in topics. It is a cliff, and we don't have an Olympics this year. There's no Pan Am Games to bitch and complain about the DVP. So this is the last week of where there is a treasure trove of topics on the show.
I am feeling coming up real soon is going to be an Ask the Audience segment.
Oh, yeah.
A real long one.
To the listeners out there, very soon we're going to need your intelligence. We're going to need your content because
top five gets expanded to top 10.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the one takeaway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be very different. So I'm in a rush. And it's bad on me. I was doing the morning show with Naylor and Landsberg. Naylor, sick. Summer, and he starts vacation next week, and today he was sick. So to Dave Naylor and his friends and family, my best wishes to you and yours, and I hope for a speedy recovery. Godspeed, sir.
Now, did he specify what kind of sick?
The cold.
Oh, no, Dave. Come on. Dave is such a sweetheart. What a rookie move.
Yeah.
First of all, if you've ever seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you got to lick your palms, right? Because sweaty palms are a nice non-specific symptom, right? No, you always go with stomach trouble. Always go with stomach trouble.
And also, I find this one's a good one. Say, yeah, the doctor's thinking of putting me on penicillin. Because the word penicillin, that ups again. Oh, penicillin.
Ooh, that sounds terrible.
You must be really sick.
Yeah, I actually, I was sleeping with a bunch of prostitutes in San Salvador. And so, but we left that part out of the story.
Yeah, that one's left out.
So Naylor has a cold.
Yeah, so I was doing the show. But do you know what's happening today at 12 o'clock for me, Bob?
No.
It took 10 years. I finally was invited to the wine committee at the National Club. And the first meeting is today at noon. I could not be more excited. Like, basically, people have to die to get onto this committee. So I am thrilled.
What is harder, to get Leafs season's tickets or to get on the wine committee at the National Club?
Oh, the wine committee. Think about this. I've been a member for 10 years. And I host and run a lot of the wine events. And even that wasn't enough to get me on the committee.
So basically, you interned for the wine committee. You were the summer intern.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're like one of those kids who's trying to get into law school, and they're joining charities, and they're washing cars for Shinarama.
It's not just about the grades. It's also, you know,
what's your community service look like?
Yeah.
Oh, poor Maddie. Yeah. But poor Maddie. Now, okay, so let me get this straight. So what does the wine committee do? Because it sounds an awful lot like the Stonecutters from The Simpsons.
Well, there is a lot of classy day drinking. Let's not... Let's not beat around the bush.
Let's not paper over it. We're mostly there to get drunk while the sun is out.
I don't like to say drunk. I like to say pleasantly buzzed.
Uh-huh.
You basically help to decide what the next, like the black tie events, what is the thrust for that year in terms of wine events, winemakers to bring in. It's basically just setting the table.
All right. So you're like the committee that makes the school dances.
Yes.
But take out school and replace it with congregation of rich white people, and take out dance with fall down because I'm drunk in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
I love it.
So that's where I'm headed.
This is a big
deal
for you, though. Are you gonna get sommelier gigs out of this?
Maybe. You know, my thing about that is, as loud and obnoxious and, you know, bombastic, I can be, I'm not good at asking for things. I'm not good at selling me, going, hey, would you like to hire me?
That's true, Matt.
I'm
it's
very
funny because you are very, very loud in a room.
Yes.
And not brash, but just a big personality in any room that you go into. And as much as you love to talk about yourself, you don't sell yourself.
No.
It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable with it. It's why I was bad at sales. I don't like asking for things, and I don't like selling me. I like selling other people. You know, like I'll push for my girlfriend, Amy, her, you know, the charity Hope for Help. But anyway, yeah, so...
So you're rushed and you're feeling like you've got this momentous life occasion just around the corner.
And I don't want to be late.
Right. So we won't be. We're going to keep this under an hour.
Yeah.
And to be perfectly honest, I'm a bit flustered because you were going to buzz me into the building.
Yeah.
But the door never buzzed. So I stood there for about 2 minutes, but then getting into your condo,
yeah,
a lady with a dog came out.
Yeah.
And she gave me that look like, I'm going to open the door for you.
But
I don't want to. Who the hell are you? I got my Expos cap on right now, and it's not real clean.
It's not. I mean, your hair is a little crazy, not that crazy. You don't look that dangerous, but... Here's the thing I love most about that exchange you had with the
woman with the dog. We should take a picture of me and tweet it out and ask the question, would you buzz this person into your condo?
That's fair. No, absolutely.
Yes or no? Okay, we'll do that after the show with the pod.
Before we get to the sports takes, here's my one thought here.
Okay.
The woman that let you in, she still decided, I'd rather not be rude than worry about safety. Like, as worried she was about the building's safety, she was still more concerned about being rude to you. So she lets you in. And that's what we all do.
So it's a triumph of civility.
Yeah, it is.
She also had a dog.
Was it a big dog?
It was a pretty big dog. It looked like an older dog. It wasn't one of those real jumpy, excited to see you kind of dogs. It wasn't a yappy dog. It wasn't a causing a room before the wine committee kind of dog.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
So I'm flustered. You're on the cusp of greatness. Shall we just get into the Leafs takeaway?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So the free agency period's wrapped up. And, well, for the most part, can't imagine there's much happening after this. Zach Hyman signed today, apparently, for 4 years and $9 million. Mm-hmm. But I thought we would play a game, Cause, where we do expectations versus reality.
Yep.
Next year is really already started because now you can start to see the shape of the team that's going to take the ice come October, right?
Yes.
So why don't we go through a couple of the key new players and some of the key players in general, but especially the new ones, and we'll do expectations, and then you give me your thought of what the reality actually is.
Okay.
Shall we start with Patrick Marleau?
Sure.
The big signing?
The big signing.
All right. He is part of the win-win mentality. This is the expectation. And he'll be a 25-plus goal scorer, play in the top six, and kill penalties. That is the expectation. Matt, what is the reality?
The reality is less than 25 goals.
Okay.
The reality...
In the first year?
In his first year. The reality is he is not going to be... I think he'll be on and off the top six line. It depends a lot about just Zach Hyman. And, you know, now they signed him to the new contract. Will he be killing penalties? Yeah.
He'll kill penalties for sure.
I think you're going to see penalty kill, but the 25 goals, that's unrealistic.
He's 38.
Yeah.
His shot totals are going down, and he's a guy who's he's generated a lot of shots over his career. And so as those totals fall, you expect that the actual production will fall with it.
Yeah. 27 goals last year was nice. His shooting percentage was a little bit higher than it had been the last 5 years. So no, I don't expect that amount. But I expect he's going to contribute, and I was fine with that signing.
It's funny. I don't know. I'm not as high on this signing as some other people are. Generally, I find Leafs Nation is somewhere from neutral to positive about this, whereas I am neutral to a little suspicious.
Yep, fair.
Mostly because I think the first year is going to be pretty good. I expect him to come in and contribute to the top six. You know, if you put him on the wing with Nylander and Matthews, Matt, they could skate us out there with Nylander and Matthews, and we would find a way to score 30 points.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah,
of course. So you know that he'll be buoyed. What's the phrase you like to use for Marner out there with Bozak and JVR?
He's the veteran whisperer.
That's right. So basically, these guys are going to whisper in Marlowe's ear, just be in the offensive zone when we have the puck.
Yeah.
Good things will happen. Just catch up to us enough
so
that you're over the blue line with us. I think that because the first year doesn't feel like a train wreck, it's probably going to be a pretty good one. We forget what year three is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The first 2 years is fine. And because it's all about the contracts don't come up for 2 years with, you know, the Matthews's of the world. That's why the deal doesn't bother me that much.
You know why I love this, too? Mm-hmm. It's because we've gotten so used to the concept of Robida Island that nobody's even worried about year three because just assume they're going to bury him. They're going to bury him next to Hoffa under the... what's the football stadium?
It was at Giant Stadium.
Giant Stadium, thank you, right? Like, they're going to have... I think right now, Stefan Robida is making up a bed with Camp of 2019 written on the sheets.
And somewhere else, Joffrey Lupul, still dealing with an illness, even worse than Dave Naylor's, is still hoping to one day again play hockey.
Well, hopefully the shots from him at Coachella this year. Hopefully that's a sign that recovery is coming along nicely. I think that he's probably really an overpaid third liner, certainly by the end of this contract.
Yeah.
But you know what's really neat about this, Maddie, and I guess we can dovetail into our expectations versus realities on Zach Hyman, is this is, to me, a classic Babcock signing.
Yep.
That it tells you Babcock has a pretty important place at the table because Marleau...
Loved him at the Olympics.
He's played for him. He loves him.
Mm-hmm.
And they clearly went out and made a substantial push. Like yeah. they gave him a heck of a good deal.
And also, Bob,
yeah.
it's official.
It is.
Pain is over, everybody.
Oh.
The rebuild is done. We are once you sign Patrick Marleau, as much as
Lambert... The 38-year-old, $6 million plus a year.
Exactly. Yeah. No rebuilding team is doing that. And Lamoriello will talk about we're still on schedule and can be very vague, but the rebuild is over. We are now done that phase.
Is it really over, though?
Well...
Is it really over?
Yes.
Or do we just sort of assume it's over because the team has... I don't mind that they did this. They had money to spend.
They had money to spend.
In year one, I don't care.
No.
Like, I don't care if they spend at the cap. The fact that it carries over to 3 years... We will see. And is he going to contribute in the way that most of us would hope? Let's find out. But I suspect that they are going to put him in a position to succeed.
Yes.
And Zach Hyman is going to get bumped down the lineup.
Yeah, eventually will. And the one thing that's hard is we're going to hear so much about veteran presence and how he in the locker room is making Marner, Nylander, and Matthews a better player. A lot of that will just be just the gooey athletic shtick. But there has to be some truth.
Okay, this is what I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Because those of us, I guess I would put myself in this camp, but those of us who lean towards the analytically minded.
Boring.
But you tend to sort of laugh. Snicker, really, is the better word. At the idea of the good in the room vet. Is there something to it, though?
Doesn't there have to be something to it? There has to be, because every player and coach talks about it. And as much as we want to eye roll, and here comes another cliche, we're not in there. We're not in the locker room. And the thing about it is sometimes in life we want to quantify everything. We want to know how the magician got the bunny out of the hat.
Okay, but Matt Martin made a nice, he's got a nice payday. It was 4 years, what, $2.5 million when they signed him?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, part of it was he hits, which is also a dubious stat. But beyond that, though, he's good in the room. One of the reasons they protected him on the expansion list.
Yes.
Well, I guess also maybe his trade value is pretty good. But regardless, does he... Having him in the room and on the fourth line not driving possession helped make Austin Matthews a 40-goal scorer?
No.
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 Right?
No.
Like, they feel like they're apples and oranges.
Yeah. But there has to be something there, and I just don't think we know what that is. But if everyone... My thing is, if every player, coach, and scout says it, who are we to be dismissive of it, and say, oh, well, you know that's not true, you're just lying to us.
I feel like I'm at Sunday school. You can't see the Lord.
Yeah.
And you'll maybe never feel him, but he's there.
He is there.
And he's watching you.
Yes.
So be careful and
exactly.
Sign him to a 4-year, $10 million deal.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of faith that goes on. I don't know. I'm going to take a flyer on this one and say there must be kind of something to that.
Yeah.
Marleau brings character argument, but we'll see. All right. Next one, reality and expectation. Curtis McElhinney.
Mm-hmm.
This is the word that I have a hard time with. You're Timothy Lejeune-Grinson friend. Will you grin? But
just
anyway.
Being quiet. I'm not talking.
Can we just call him the backup goalie? I don't know what it is about this guy's name, but I have a hard time with it.
Yeah, Curtis McElhinney. Yep.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. The expectation, 20 good starts at a very cap-friendly cost, waiting for Garrett Sparks to get better. That is the expectation.
Yeah.
What is the reality?
The reality is it might not, if he doesn't play well early, then bye-bye. Because you don't bring in Patrick Marleau unless it's we're here to win now. It's no longer about it's okay, the odd throwaway game. He wasn't bad last year.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was pretty good. 20 games is realistic. But if Anderson is on fire and McElhinney is a couple bad starts and usually gets a start, usually he gets the back-to-back, so that means the defense in front of him is a little more tired. I could see him getting fewer starts because Babcock wants to win.
So another guy who's good in the room and that they like, but we're just going to assume that there's something kind of true to that and not touch it again.
Moving on.
As for assessing goalies, I don't know, Matt. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like let's just get Merlin in here to look at a crystal ball to decide which goalie is going to be good next year. Who the hell knows? It seems like they're like the relievers of hockey. Like from 1 year, you think you got something, and the drop-off can be spectacular. And also guys you think got nothing all of a sudden come. Like Cam Talbot was a running gag. Devin Dubnyk was a running gag.
Yep.
Dubnyk probably more than Talbot. But regardless, like no one thought these guys are going to be world beaters, and here we are. So I don't know. But I will say this, though, that if this doesn't work out, this is where the team kind of did blow it. Because backup goalie is not like a punter on a football team. You know, it's closer to being a backup QB
yeah.
on a really good team in the NFL.
Yeah, and like the quarterback that misses four games, and all you need the backup to do is to go 2-2. Yeah.
You just got to go 2-2.
Yeah.
And if Anderson gets hurt, and we've seen him play hurt, we've seen him come back. Anderson isn't Carey Price.
Nope.
We think he's a average to good goalie.
We think he
when
can
all
be a,
the numbers even
a
out.
A solid second tier goaltender.
Right.
Yeah.
So if he goes on a cold streak, or if he's hurt, or he's rehabbing an injury, like this team is not.
They don't have the defensive horses in front to mask a bad goaltender.
They made the playoffs by 1 point.
Yeah.
Right. You mm-hmm. can say Matt Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury, but let's just leave other teams out completely for now, comparison wise. Mm-hmm. They're not great.
Yeah.
They're trying to become great.
Yes.
So they could easily lose a lot of points from a crappy backup goalie. This yep. one could come back to bite them on the ass. I don't feel good about this one. I don't feel terrible, but I don't feel good.
That's fair.
Ron Hainsey, expectations, fill the void left by Hunwick, fit into the top four on the right side, and not take a step backwards. Those are the expectations. What's the reality?
That could be the reality. Look, he played a lot of minutes for the Penguins in the playoffs. So, you know, we're sort of discounting him because of his age and the whole storyline of Hainsey finally getting a cup. But I think Ron Hainsey, I think will do a little bit more than maybe we expect.
I think you're right on this one.
Yeah.
I tend to agree with you. I think that he is a sensible, good signing. The quality of competition that he played against in Pittsburgh was quite high. So Hunwick...
2 years, $6 million for Hainsey.
You know, you got to get something, and they got something. I don't think they took a step back, and I don't think they took a real big step forward. So let's just see how all that develops. Hyman, I think we kind of already went over. Do you want to do
I think
expectations
Hyman is,
versus reality with him?
Starts on the first line, again, is the puck retriever. We're going to hear that over and over and over and over and over again.
He's going to be first line?
I think he's going to start on the first line.
Do you really?
Babcock was really loyal to him, and they signed him to that 4-year deal. I don't think he stays on there that long, but I think...
And Marleau goes with Kadri, or Marleau goes with... I would think Marleau goes with Kadri then, right?
Well, unless Nylander becomes a center.
Which I don't think they're going to do.
God, I think they should. Yeah, Nylander. Yeah. I'd love it. Nylander's the second center, but Marleau there, Kadri is the third center. That's
Bozak on your fourth line?
Oh.
Yeah. Strength down the middle. Let Willie be free. Free Willie. The big three.
Yep.
The big three, of course, are Matthews, Nylander, and Marner. Mm-hmm. The expectation is that all three take steps forward. Matthew jumps into the league elite while the other two guys become top-tier performers. Yeah. That is the expectation going into next year. What is the reality?
Barring injury, why not? You've got a very smart coach. You've got guys who did everything the right way. And it wasn't like these players had, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, crazy high shot percentage. You know, sometimes you can see a guy, he's like, okay, you're not going to do that next year.
Like the shooting percentage.
Yeah, excuse me, yeah. Shooting percentage. You know, it's like we all know Justin Smoke is not going to be hitting home runs like this by mid-August.
He's not our Aaron Judge.
He is not our Aaron Judge. Too bad he wasn't. So I think it's not like those guys, you watched them play last year and it felt like a fluke. It felt like they belonged. And this is a smart team. So I think those expectations, barring injury, the ascension is just going to continue.
I think you're right about Matthews. I expect that to be true of Nylander, and I'm going to wait and see about Marner because, once again, I think he's obviously strong enough to play in the NHL. Mm-hmm. He's obviously strong enough to be a dominant player in the NHL.
Did you worry about other teams focusing and whacking him on the wrist and just like some of the stick work?
And also just the second year, it stands to reason that at least one of these guys is going to drop off.
Yes.
Aaron Ekblad was going to be a perennial Norris candidate. And now he looks like he's going to be a good NHL defenseman.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So it just stands to reason that there's going to be, where there's smoke, there's fire, to go back to your Justin Smoke.
There you go.
But who knows how long that fire burns for? So I'm gonna take two of the three. I'm gonna put my eggs in the Matthews and Nylander basket just because somebody has to drop off.
Statistically, you're right. Statistically, the odds of all three continuing to improve and stay healthy, that is asking a lot. Their talent says it can happen. The management team around says it can happen, but the history of the game says expect some disappointment. That's what happens with professional athletes. It's your hero's quest is not just about always going up.
All right, so now that the draft and free agency is over, we'll leave the Leafs talk with this thought here. Are you satisfied, happy, disappointed with the way the last 3 weeks have gone in Leafs land?
The only disappointment, and he's never going to come, was Shattenkirk signed a 4-year deal.
I know.
And it wasn't a crazy amount of money.
It really wasn't.
And if someone said Shattenkirk signed that 4-year, I think it was like $6 million around there.
Yeah.
With the Leafs, we'd be doing backflips right now.
Certainly to get him at 4 years, I think we'd be doing backflips. I never thought he would sign somewhere for less than 5 years.
Yeah, but it was somewhere around then. I apologize for not having the contract in front of me, but he wanted to go back to New York. I don't think there was any way he was coming to Toronto. So that was the one where I'm like, oh. But beyond that, I'm not that disappointed in the Maple Leafs.
I'm disappointed they lost out on Travis Hamonic because I think he would have been a great fit. And it sounds, just by all accounts, people who cover the team closely, that they pushed hard for him and just didn't get him. And
the Islanders didn't want to trade him to the East. They wanted him out in the West.
And that's the way it goes. And, and you know, JVR is still a Leaf, which I think is probably a good thing.
Yes, it's a good thing. He'll be a great trade chip down the road.
We'll see. Well, they only got him for one more year. It's funny because him and Komarov, their tickets are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what they're going to do on the left side. I would say more positive than negative, but I'm a little bit dubious about this this backup goalie situation. Any other takeaways this week, Matty?
What are your thoughts on... I want to get an opinion on the Argonauts, but real quick, because we talk about Raptors a lot.
Sure.
It's a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
And he's getting paid a lot more per year than Kevin Durant, but that's another story.
Kyle Lowry, I think we're talking about you.
Kyle Lowry. And here's my thought. I'm glad he's back.
Yep.
Because we're going to have fun for the next bunch of years. You're not going to win a title, but considering the East is so much weaker now, and every big star seems to want to go out West, it's basically Cleveland at number one, and Boston, Milwaukee, Washington, and Toronto are going to be fighting it out for 2 through 4. And the Raptors have a chance to be in that conversation. So it's going to be a relevant, fun regular season, probably win at least one playoff round, and hopefully go deep in the second.
Cause, I'm going to make a food analogy, which probably doesn't shock you that much.
Oh, by the way, before we continue,
yes.
The boss at TSN Radio, Jeff McDonald,
mm-hmm.
said, yep, love the show today. There's a cause, again, with all the fruit talk. What is with you and all the fruit talk? Mango versus pineapple came up on the show.
Well, it's summer. Not even, it's mango though.
Thank you.
It's like so obviously
thank
mango.
Thank you, Landsberg.
Because pineapple can be too acidic.
Yes.
Right? And then you get that sort of, do you ever get the bumpy tongue
after you have
pineapple?
Yes.
Right. I mean, it's like licking a car battery sometimes. Mm-hmm. No. Pineapple is fine, but only sometimes.
Yes. Mango is good the time.
Mango's always good.
Anyway, sorry, your food analogy with Raptors, Kyle.
Yeah, the Raptors are like sour cream right now. You know when you go to the dairy section, you buy the sour cream, and the due date is like 2 months away, and you think, I'll get the big one.
Yeah.
I'll eat all of this before the end of 2 months. That's kind of how Masai treated this offseason, is he decided to get the big sour cream tub because he's not worried about the expiry date.
Yes.
So now we can have all the nachos we want and all the fried petahe, which is pierogies, that we want. And so basically, we got a big tub of sour cream.
Yes.
And I've never felt bad about that.
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy it. You know, it's going to be great. The only way you don't bring back Lowry is if you had a smart deal to move DeMar DeRozan. And if that's not there, bring the gang back, see what happens, see about internal development, and just enjoy the regular season and enjoy early on in the playoffs before you get crushed by LeBron.
Ibaka's making a pretty piece of change. We'll see if he winds up living up to this contract. And I'm a little bit worried, not so much that Patrick Patterson is gone, because you knew he was going to be gone.
So who's going to take those minutes?
Yeah.
Who's stepping in?
Yeah, and who's going to fill that role? He sets really great screens. Mm-hmm. You know, when you got guys like Lowry and DeRozan, they want the ball.
Yeah.
And you got to free them up. You got to get them space. And, you know, Patterson was a big part of that.
Yep.
His pick and roll defense was good. I don't know who fills that role on this team.
Hartle.
You think so? He's pretty smart. He's a pretty smart player. He's pretty good. You certainly don't get the shooting out of him. I don't know. It feels like for a team that one of its greatest strengths was its depth.
Mm-hmm. It's taking a hit.
Yeah, it's definitely taking a hit.
It's absolutely taking a hit. It's up to Masai Ujiri to find the other parts. And hopefully Pascal Siakam and some of those other players can just take enough of a leap.
Also, Cause, can we officially say that the Players Tribune has jumped the shark? Which is a jump the shark way of describing jumping the shark. The Kyle Lowry, I decided to stay home because Toronto was home to me, is such horse bleep.
Yes, it is.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
When you watched Chris Paul go to Houston and Fultz gets drafted by the Sixers, all of a sudden, the more my options went away, the more I realized I love my home. And the more I realized I couldn't get that massive deal from anybody else, the more I thought, maybe I will take a haircut with my
home. A place to live and a place to grow. I call that place Ontario. Here's the thing about Lowry. place to live and a place where I get lots of zeros. I call that place Ontario. It doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. I bet he's happy to come back to Toronto. But it can be both things. I'm happy to be back to Toronto. Part of it's because of money. Part because I'm comfortable here and DeRozan and I are good friends. But yeah, I wanted to go somewhere else. If I could have got a ton of money, you know, to go to Philadelphia or to go to San Antonio, I think he would have jumped at it. The opportunity wasn't there. And I don't think he's coming back to Toronto with a look on his face like Steve Francis when he got drafted by the Grizzlies. You know, it can be a little bit of both. You know, it can be a little bit of both.
Was that the quintessential disappointed look from an athlete?
It's the greatest
one. Number one?
And the best thing with Steve Francis, he's like, I'm not going to hide it. My poker face is
the, Steve Francis versus Eric Lindros. Who looked less thrilled to be drafted by that team?
To me, it's always Steve Francis. That pout is... It's better than the few moments when Eli Manning was a Charger before they finally switched over between them and the Giants.
If I remember correctly, though, Lindros didn't even put the jersey on.
No. No, just like with Eli Manning, the crowd chanting, put the hat on with the Chargers. It was great. But for Lowry, listen, in the end, they ain't winning a title, but we're going to have fun. And it, in a lot of ways, isn't that enough?
It's going to have to be.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite West Coast, West Conference team now to root for that isn't the Warriors? Because you could go with OKC. They're a lot of fun.
Paul
Patterson's
George,
there now.
Yeah, Patterson, Paul George.
Or you could go with the T-Wolves because they've got four really good players up front, including Andrew Wiggins.
It's got to be the T-Wolves.
It's got to be the T-Wolves.
Yeah, if they can learn to play defense, and it was one of the biggest shocks that Thibodeau couldn't do a better job with it last year there. If they can learn to play defense with Towns and Wiggins and Jimmy Butler, that is, and Jeff Teague, that's going to be a fun team. Absolutely.
That's actually a good setup for the big question, which we'll get to shortly, which is being a sports agnostic.
Yes.
Which is to say you've got the teams that you love and then the teams that you kind of like. You sort of follow them.
Yeah.
What is it? What's better? Is it better to have a team that you're nutty for and they cause you so much grief and pain and money and time and everything else? Or just to sort of have a team that you like?
Yeah. Yep.
You enjoy it and you move on.
Yep.
But you don't get that real love either. Like you never punch your fist in the air out of anger or out of joy.
Yes.
What's better, to have the faith or to be an agnostic? We'll get into that a little bit later. Plus, Cause's top five this week is so ingenious. In the spirit of Canada Day, which just passed, and Independence Day in the States, what are your top five? Holidays.
Top five holidays.
Top five holidays. That's coming up. You said you wanted to talk CFL quickly?
Yeah.
CFL.ca's Matt Cause?
Yeah, absolutely. CFL.ca's own Matthew Cause here. Hey, millennials, what the bleep are you doing? Go support the Argonauts. Listen, you young millennials that I know so well with your Instagram and such. A lot of y'all want to be hipster. What is more sports hipster than being an Argo fan? Anyone can be a Leaf fan and a Raptor fan and a Jay fan. That's the easy way to do it. Listen there, Daddy-O. And even TFC and soccer now is like hugely popular. So that corner's been taken. But imagine you walking around the city, you know, in your Brandon Whitaker jersey. For the sports hipster, be an Argonaut fan. Also, the millennials are complaining, real estate's too expensive. I can't rent a place. My avocado toast is expensive. Argo game's cheap. Beer outside at the tailgate's like $5. And then you go into the stadium, you get the sunset, the view of the city. CFL's fun to watch. I don't get it, millennials. Support the team.
You make a kind of a good point, Cause, but the thing kind about of. Football is you're never going to get millennials to buy into it because it represents toxic masculinity.
Damn it.
Come on, Cause, smarten up.
But it's all passing and not as much defense. It's less masculine.
Yeah, but there's still big hits. It's still football. You've got TFC is the hipster sport. You know that.
Yeah.
There's matching uniforms. You all look like you're an Interpol.
You all have scarves and you sing along and you don't sit.
Everybody's dressed like Gareth. Gareth is dressed like Gareth, our dear friend Gareth Wheeler, who covers TFC for TSM. As for being cheap, that's a good argument. But
yep.
I got to thinking, Cause, because you wanted to rant on millennials a little bit.
Everyone else does. Finally, my chance.
Yeah. Okay. It got me to thinking, though. I went to BuzzFeed, which was a very millennial thing to do, I guess. And it occurred to me, Cause, that you might actually be a millennial.
Really?
I have a quiz pulled for you, and let's see how you do here, okay?
Okay.
Let's just... Do you have a number of jobs based on your interests and you have a hope to monetize your passions?
Yes.
100,000%.
And I do have a shared Airbnb.
Right. I was going to say, do you rent part of your home as a quote unquote side hustle?
Yes, I have a side hustle.
You don't want kids because you just want some quality me time and you don't want to be unfair to them.
I plan on a massive nap later on today.
Enormous check. Do you spend most of your waking hours pursuing your interests? Yes. Not because you're greedy, but you just want to live a full, rich life.
Yes.
Check, check, check. Do you enjoy food and wine as more than just a way to survive, but really for the joy of getting into it and learning about it more?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Are you self-employed?
Yes.
Don't play golf?
Nope.
Cause, you just scored 100% on your, are you a millennial? Cause, you are the millennial.
Sorry, Bob, I wasn't listening. I'm taking a selfie of myself. Got to make the shot high because I don't want to see my chins. Click, click. Mm-hmm. Really? Hey, I'm a millennial.
Think about that, cause. You are. You sit there and say, oh, with your selfies and your and your social media and such.
Yes.
You are their king. You are their leader.
Oh, my God.
You are the OG.
Yes.
You're the OM,
yes.
Original millennial.
That's right. Oh, that's so exciting. I am the king of the millennials. Bow down, you bearded hipsters.
I am king of the man bun world. You need a man bun.
I do.
Yeah.
Amy would not.
And you like
that.
The Argos.
I
which
do like
by
the
your own recommendation.
Yeah.
By the way, I think there's something wrong with my brain, Matt. Mm. I wanted to talk Argos with you today because they lost to the Lions.
Yeah.
And I watched about 3/4 of the game. I was at a family function, so I couldn't watch all of it, but I watched 3/4 of the game. I was alone in a room watching the game while everybody else was having cake and tiramisu downstairs.
Yeah.
I still can't remember the name of BC's quarterback. I watched the game 6 days ago.
Jonathan Jennings.
Yeah, it's not Jarius Jackson, right?
No, it is not. Former Notre Dame quarterback. It's not Jarius Jackson, who's now, I believe, a QB coach in the league. It is Jonathan Jennings, who I picked as my MOP this year.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's possible that I've got something wrong with my brain where I just actually, like, my neurons won't absorb CFL knowledge?
I think it may be just you were thinking about the delicious tiramisu and then it wasn't able to.
I love
get
the way
the
you
brain.
Say that. Tiramisu. So millennial. Shall we get into the top five? My man bun avocado toast eating friend.
Avocado is delicious.
By the way, I went to a restaurant this week and they said, sorry, by the way, something's not on the menu. No avo toast.
They just said avo?
Avo toast. So, cause. Mm. King cause.
King cause, that's right.
Of the selfie.
Yes.
No avo toast today. Nope. Shall we get on to the top five?
Absolutely.
All right.
Top five holidays. We just passed Canada Day, July 4th. So I'm going to rank my top five holidays from 5 to 1, and then Bob will judge, shame, or praise them. Coming in at number five, and this one seems low, but Halloween. And the reason why, I love Halloween. It's a great day. By the way, it is the highest traffic day of the year because even like dads or moms who are no longer with their family every day because of divorce or separation, they always make sure to be there for their kid for Halloween. The reason why it's number five, it's so conditional on the day. If it's on Wednesday and it's rainy or snow, Halloween's not as much fun as Friday with a nice breeze at night. So that's why it's number five. Number four, Thanksgiving, especially if you have American friends. You get two Thanksgivings. The Canadian one, the weather is at its fall best, where there's still no snow, but you're getting the foliage, you're getting the turkey, you're getting the pumpkin pie, you get to feel grateful, and you got family. Number three, and this is not pandering, Remembrance Day. Used to get that day off. You don't anymore. Remembrance Day has always been a big deal for me, going down to Queen's Park when I can. There are no more World War I veterans. So when I see the World War II veterans, it always just, I don't know, a sense of history, in a sense I want to see them. And now no way to segue from that into my next one, number two, Victoria Day. A day that is so good, we don't even honor the Queen. We've turned it into May 24. It went from monarchy to beer. And what I like about May 24, being at the cottage while watching hockey and NBA playoffs. Nothing more glorious than having a beer, maybe jumping in the water, toweling off, and then watching the playoffs. And finally, at number one, this one's easy. It's Christmas. It's the best day for presents. It is a big meal. It is so many good movies. And also, I mean, think of all the great movies that came out of Christmas.
Koss, are you going to acknowledge the fact that your phone is ringing?
Yeah, my phone is ringing. I'm just going to keep talking my way through it. And finally, all the great leftovers. I love turkey the night before. I like it even better the next day.
Do you know who's on the phone, Matt?
Who? My professionalism?
Yeah. No, actually, it's the universe calling to say your list stinks.
What?
It's like, honestly, like, this is the worst list you've ever come up with.
Go.
So first of all, yeah. Halloween isn't a holiday. It's just an occasion. Because if you don't get the day off work, if the liquor stores aren't closed, it's not a holiday.
I apologize for thinking outside the box. Continue.
No, no, no. You are simply... What you see as expanding the borders,
yes.
You were just coloring outside the lines in a bad, sloppy way.
I'm being inclusive there, Donald J. Mackowitz.
Me with my agenda.
Yes, apologies to Easter.
I will say, though, I do love Halloween, though, as an occasion. Yes. And even though I'm well past... Great thing about Halloween, too, is you can go from one phase of life to the next.
Yep.
Because when you're young, it's all about booze and being horny. And then, right? Like, it's got to be the horniest day of the year.
Yes.
Like, let's get drunk and wear masks.
It is so much a better day to pick up if you're a single person than a New Year's Eve or a wedding. Halloween, the single greatest pickup day.
What's your costume? Sexy, insert...
Yes, whatever.
Profession here.
Yes.
Sexy VHS repairman.
Yeah, ooh, be kind and rewind.
That's actually really good. I love your Remembrance Day pick. Mm-hmm. That should be a holiday, even though it's not. That's a disgrace.
Used to be.
So that one's no good. The fact that...
I know.
You know what I mean. Sorry, I was skipping ahead to the fact that you used the word foliage instead of foliage, when you were discussing the autumn majesty
of
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And May 2-4 isn't that great.
May 2-4 is awesome.
No. May 2-4 feels like it should be awesome, but it's May in Canada. It's still not warm yet, and it's often rainy. So you have this long weekend, but the weather tends to be lousy. So I know what you want it to be, but it's not actually that. And finally, Christmas is the most overrated holiday of the year.
Your war on Christmas is disgusting.
Okay. How many kids do you have?
I have zero.
So when you have Christmas Day, what does it consist of?
Well, I still sleep over at my mom and my stepdad's place.
Which is sweet.
Yep. Because all my other brothers,
Are you in your jam jams to go get your toys in the basement?
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
The open up patch on the butt of your one-piece pajam jams?
Yeah, that doesn't exist, but it's a lot of mimosas with my mom and my stepdad. It is opening the one extra special gift that my brothers don't get because they have their own family.
Do you have to take a bite of a carrot to pretend that Rudolph has been there?
No.
Okay.
No.
So let me tell you a little something about Christmas.
Uh-huh.
It's amazingly expensive.
Yes,
and you know who knows?
Yeah.
All the stores.
Yes.
And you know who goes to your kids directly, whether it's through YouTube or TV commercials or however they reach them?
Uh-huh.
They get inside your kid's brain. Hey, Maddie, how many Hatchimals did you buy last year?
I don't know what a Hatchimal is.
Exactly. Well, everybody who has kids is saying, I hate those GD things right now because nobody even plays with them past February.
Yep.
There is so much expectation. And also, so first of all, it turns into this marathon shopping excursion, which you almost inevitably either wind up spoiling your child or disappointing your child.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no win. And then if you have family in the city, nobody ever says, you know what I found really restful? Mm. The 4 or 5 days around Christmas. I had a nice long break where I went to 17 different people's homes and was forced to have food shoved down my throat as though I were the turkey.
Listen, Bob, if you don't, that's part of it, is the work involved.
The runaround. You don't put your ass on a couch for more than 2 minutes until you get to Boxing Day, which is a blessed day.
Which is part of Christmas in my mind. And second, that moment of satisfaction, if you're hosting the party and seeing everyone there.
What party,
Matt? And seeing everyone happy.
What
Christmas
party?
Christmas dinner. Christmas dinner. Sorry, if you don't want to use the word party, Christmas dinner. And
do you
all
cook
your
it?
Families are... No.
Do you cook it? Yeah.
No.
So you're hosting it. So what is your job during this magnificent day? Do you stand there and have a couple glasses of wine, make sure everybody's drink is freshy fresh?
I do that. I make sure everything's open. Decant all the wine. I usually bring...
Oh, decant the wine. Wait, oh, geez.
What am I, a monster?
You get danger pay for that?
What am I, a farmer? You know, have it all open. I do a lot of the cleaning afterwards. Mm-hmm. I'm a big cleaner for all of these.
How much cleaning do you have to do from the kids that tear through your house that morning?
Oh, I help clean all the time, no matter if I'm at my brother's or my parents' place.
Right. And then when you go back home to your clean condo afterwards, are there toys scattered all over the floor for the next 2 weeks?
Good God, no. There's
toys
just
that either break or are forgotten.
No, Bob, the floor is filled with all the gifts that I got for Christmas. Duh. So you don't like Christmas because you don't like the work.
It's not a holiday.
Bob, the
it's
Grinch.
It's not a holiday.
I got to tell you right
it's
now.
It's a religious thing.
You're the Grinch. You're a mean one.
You ready? Have you ever heard me sing The Grinch?
The audience hasn't. I have.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You have arsenic in your soul. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk.
By the way, we planned that hours ahead of time. This is all lead up to here.
Do you know what the guy's name is who wrote that song? This is no BS. Do you know what it is?
I should.
Thurl Ravenscroft.
Oh, my God.
Thurl Ravenscroft.
Didn't he try to murder Harry Potter? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh,
that is too funny.
All right, well, what are some of your favorite holidays there, Mr.
I put Christmas
Lazy?
At 5 just because there are some beautiful elements to Christmas, too. Yep. I just didn't want to get too nutty with it. Boxing Day, I put it ahead of Christmas because it's actually when you sit down and enjoy what you should have been doing during Christmas. Family Day, I put it 3rd.
Oh, get out of here.
Family Day, you just hang out and do nothing.
Get out of
here. It's a day dedicated to
doing nothing. McGinty's way of pandering to the public. And as someone who's worked for Bell my entire life, we don't even get it off.
Have you noticed that they don't give you Family Day at Bell?
Yes, I have noticed
that. Because it's a Quebec-based company.
Zut and it's
but I asked, do we get Jean de Baptiste Day then?
Ne pas de Jean Baptiste
Day. Apparently pas.
I'm savant mal.
July the 1st. That is the true gateway to summer. You talked about how fun it is to be at the cottage watching sports. Better on July the 1st because it's free agency day, so you can still crack the beer. You can actually jump in the lake because it's no longer too cold. So you get the sports content and the cottage. Oh, please. And Thanksgiving is the best one.
Mm-hmm.
No gifts. Beautiful message. All about be thankful.
Yes.
Great meal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one day long. And you only have to see one, maximum two families. Maddie, I have Italian in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
There are, at Christmas time, 41 different homes I have to visit in a 3-day period.
Well, it's not like you have to. By the way, you don't have to do any of the driving. You get to sit in the passenger side and enjoy the pumpkin pie.
I'm sure Sandra hates Christmas more than I do.
Yeah, well, she's not here right now. Love Christmas. If Amy was here, she'd be angry at you.
She would be.
Yeah.
Look, everybody who has kids knows I'm right. And everybody, like you, the king of the millennials.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Right. Of course you love Christmas because it's fun time.
Fun time.
Which is actually not really distinguished from the rest of the calendar, which is also fun time.
Yeah, it is. All right, you want to do the big question?
How much time do we have before you go to your wine club meeting?
Well, we've been on for about 39, 38 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's flying.
Look at us. This really is.
It's 11:27. Because I was late, I'm going to have to take a cab there because I will not be late.
Really?
To the National
it's 11. Yeah. Oh, could you? What if you're late for your first one and
I'm
they
not
kick you out? And they kick you out.
That'd be the worst.
Would you cry?
No, but I would elicit no sympathy. Imagine the ability to try for someone to feel sympathy for me.
I have this image of all the people who actually belong to the National Club Wine Committee are probably not that open to
they
your
love
traffic
me.
Problems.
No, they love me because I represent the cool young.
The millennial.
Yeah, exactly.
You are the future.
That's right.
Are you going to take a selfie with him and post it on your Instagram account?
I am. And then we're going to Snapchat.
Uh-huh.
And whatever else that's going on in the social media world. Planking? Well, is that still going on?
Maddie's going to get in there and Tebow.
I mean,
as soon as you get
in,
you're going to Tebow.
Oh, when I go down the National Club Wine Cellar, oh, I Tebow. Thank you, dear Lord, for the blood of your son. It is delicious.
Big question, Maddie.
Yeah.
You want to set it up?
Better or worse to be a sports agnostic? When you see the James Myrtles and most people that work at sports media, they adopt the pose of sports agnostic, where it's like, hey, you know, I just enjoy watching the sport. I think of Jonas Siegel, who loves basketball but doesn't have a team and just, you know, raves all the time about the Spurs. And, you know, you see from people in the business and, you know, I think a lot of younger people who haven't adopted one team versus the maniac fan who will sometimes face paint but or otherwise loves their one team, gets extreme highs and extreme lows. And if you have to choose one or the other, what is better to be? The sports agnostic or the that is my team, that is the temple unto where I worship?
I think it's better to be the fan, but there's a limit to how many teams that you can have that relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the limit is two, which presents a difficult spot in my life because I actually love three teams.
Yeah.
I love the Raptors, mm-hmm. I love the Leafs, and I love the Jays.
Yep.
But I feel like I can't love them all the same amount in the same year because there's just not enough time in the day.
Yes.
Even when you and I were working at this professionally, making a, you know, drawing a paycheck and having a show
yeah.
on TSN Radio, which was pretty great.
It's awesome.
But even then, you kind of had to almost winnow it down to two, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And there was only ever really two on the go at any one time. Although NFL season always made it tough because you try to follow the NFL plus the NBA and, of course, hockey. So I kind of feel like it's better to have that relationship as super fan than just agnostic because of the fun.
Yeah.
The joy mm-hmm. of following something really closely. But it actually becomes a bit of a burden and a drag if you try to do it with too many things because now you're just chasing your tail.
It becomes a burden, especially in basketball. It's much better to be like all those losers that said, no, Golden State Cleveland was fun because I loved watching the artistry on the court. Now, if you can actually be that, that's much better than being a fan of 90% of the teams in the NBA where you know there's no chance you're going to win it all.
You just want to see a good game.
Yeah.
And you actually just want to see a good game. You don't resent the final because your team got knocked off along the way,
yeah.
i.e. the Toronto Raptors. What about you, Maddie? Because you have a relationship with, it seems like a half a dozen teams.
Well, Giants in the NFL, then all the Toronto-based teams. The other basketball team is the Knicks because I was a fan before.
Although you're not really a Knicks fan. You're an enthusiast.
I'm an enthusiast
you
now.
You like the Knicks the way I like the Bills.
Yeah, I used to be like when Larry Johnson hit that 4-point play against the Pacers in the 99 playoff run before that Allen Houston shot to beat the Miami Heat, I was so addicted. Like, and I've been into the Knicks for about 6 years. But I think of the two, I get sports agnostic. And in sports community, we need them. We need you sports agnostics to dissect and to give us information perspective that we don't have. But I could never be that. And I remember when the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, all my friends picked me up. It was like I was at a wedding, you know, and just, you know, when you're sitting in the chair and everyone throws you up in the air. And that's what it felt like because I was an extreme, passionate Giants fan. And the same thing with the Blue Jays and with these sports. I love the highs. And I don't mind having the highs and lows because I would rather suffer down here and experience great joy than to always be in the middle. Because being always in the middle, it's safe.
Now, you do have to live with the fact that you become that guy. Like your conversations for years, and I mean years, I suffered through endless arguments where you tried to explain how Eli was actually the better Manning.
In the playoffs.
Right. That Peyton's gone, I feel like you've maybe revised some of your earlier positions.
In the playoffs.
How many times did you say Eli is a better quarterback than Peyton?
Only in the playoffs, and that's true. I never said in the regular season. I'm not that much of a jackass.
You are. You actually are.
No. In the playoffs, Eli Manning, better quarterback. And I can easily make that argument.
You have to be that guy mm-hmm. who becomes... See, is it sports agnostic to actually be rational about your team? Because I'm rational about the Raptors. When they lose, it hurts. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate it.
Yeah.
This year, I knew they were going to lose, so it didn't hurt so much. But last year was painful. And then game 7 between the Pacers and the Heat
yeah.
was torture. Like, that wasn't fun. There was nothing fun about that. I almost didn't watch because I didn't want to see
yeah.
if it went not our way.
Yeah, and
it's almost too painful, right?
Yeah. Like, the sports fan, when they lost to Milwaukee and they were down by like 30 in the first half, I was like, bleep it, this is over. They have no chance. And the agnostics went, no. They broke it down. The Raptors still have a very good chance. They didn't lose another game. But as the fan, I was just like, I don't want to watch this.
It's funny because I feel like the mainstream media has this weird relationship with fandom
mm-hmm.
where you're speaking to fans, but it's almost like you're trying to correct them.
Yes.
And
I hate that. Yeah.
You know, it's almost like I don't think that it's anyone's job to go out and have no opinion
mm-hmm.
or an ill-informed opinion. So if you work in the media, you know, you should probably know what you're talking about. Even if you have a podcast or a blog, you should probably try to know your topic
yes.
as best as possible.
Yeah.
But there's almost like this superiority that someone who chooses to not care about the tables and the stats,
that they're above it. They don't let petty emotions guide them.
And I really don't like that. Like, that's the one thing about the sports agnostic that I don't like, is that there isn't a real appreciation for the simple joy of just sitting down with a beer and a bag of chips
yeah.
and watching a game and knowing you're probably going to lose, but cheering anyway.
We have to realize in the media that more of the fans are like dart guy than analytics guy.
Right.
And I hate to go just to such generalizations on both ends. It's the only problem I have with the Dan Le Batard show. To me, it's one of the best, most creative sports shows on radio. And Dan always promotes empathy. And I think that's so important in sports. Sometimes we don't have enough empathy for when an athlete loses and we forget they're a human. But the one thing he doesn't have empathy for is the sports fan. And he does kind of talk down and say, you shouldn't be like this. And for me, it's like, of course, you don't want to be the sports fan that's spewing vitriol on Twitter. But anything, you know, that's not that. You want to be the, you know, the hyper emotional sports
fan. You don't
want
to be a jerk. You don't have to be a jerk. No. You can still have fun with it. One of my problems, actually, with Canadian sports fans, particularly hockey fans, is that it does sometimes travel over into the jerk territory.
Yes.
And that can be a real drag to be around.
Yeah.
But, oh, actually, we were supposed to talk a little bit about why the NHL hates its fans.
Oh, we're not going to have time for that.
We're not going to have time for that. I guess we're going to kick it forward to next week.
By the way, hold on. Isn't that a perfect topic for when we get into the what the hell's going on between, except for the Jays just played the Brewers?
It's going to be the July 19th edition of the Macro, episode 10 of the Macro and Cause podcast. In fact, you know what we should do? Mm. We should build the whole thing around the most generic things we possibly can.
The generic but compelling and fun conversations.
You have high standards. I was willing to stop at generic.
But I think we both agree. Is that
we both like the idea of being a fan.
Yeah, it's just like if I have to choose one or the other, I'm going to choose the fan. I understand agnostic. It's important. It's needed. But I need the highs and I need the lows.
So let me throw this back to you. What is the best sport to be a fan of?
Not the NBA, because your chances of winning are less than any other. I would go with... That's a good question. Because baseball recently has the longest run of you don't know who's going to win it all. As much as we talk about parity in the NFL, it's always the same teams. There's Brady. There's Aaron Rodgers. I think for the chances of your team winning it all, it's either baseball or it's hockey. The best sport for just about anticipation, it's the NFL. You know, I think if you look at one of the other, it's one of those... Okay, now I got to give an answer. I'm going to go NFL. I'm going to go to the NFL because you have a whole week to talk yourself up that your team's going to win.
I think that the NFL has done such a brilliant job of making itself fan-friendly, and the whole idea that you got that week lead-up is so... You just can't beat that. I do think it's baseball, though, because you've got that nice long season, and I know if you're out, it becomes a real drag, but there's nothing else really going on in summer, so it is the one game in town.
Think of the last 2 years, how great the Jays were. Every day... They gave us entertainment.
When
and
your
stories.
Team is good and it's rolling through the summer and you can't wait to see, like back when we were growing up, you'd wait for the sports page to come out. Yeah. Now you don't have to do that because you get your breaking alerts on your phone. But just that whole idea of wherever you are, you're thinking about it. It's all around you. The city is buzzing. And as you say, I love the fact that there's no cap in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really only restricted by how much you want to win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's not like basketball where... On any given year, 27 teams don't really have a chance.
Yeah.
And they won't have a chance next year either.
Nope.
Baseball, I think, is the best sport to be a fan of. And even just listening to the games on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a great, you know, you don't have to be so absorbed by it. It just becomes part of the fabric of your life in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, football's an event.
Yes.
And baseball's a lifestyle.
Perfect way to put it. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
How long do we have before you got to run so you can go to your piss up?
We kind of have to tie it up. Do you have any,
kind of tie it up? I got a huge announcement.
Oh, of course. Do it.
I got a huge announcement. I am going to do Tough Mudder.
Really?
Me and my 15-year-old nephew have signed up for it.
When is it?
Actually, it's in August. It's August the 19th and 20th at Mount St. Louis Moonstone.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the half mutter, which is only 5 miles and 13 events.
Yep.
And I think that there's no
5 miles or 5K.
No, 5 miles.
5 miles.
Yeah.
There you
and
go.
I think there's no ice or electricity or fire.
Good.
Yeah. Because I wasn't that keen on getting zapped.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to do Tough Mudder because I realized that in the, say, 10 days since I stopped my diet, I just started, went back to eating.
Of course.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I had for dinner last night?
Mm.
I don't know. I couldn't see it from under the potato chips.
My chocolate chip consumption went way up after my hernia surgery.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you do the same thing I did, which is you kind of nibble at the edges at first? You're like, well, maybe I'll just have a little, but I'll stay
and
healthy.
And then it's like, bleep it, get out of my way.
That's like a person rushing through a crowd
for
a closing subway door. Yep. Yep. So that's what happened. So I realized I needed an unrealistic goal, and Tough Mudder is going to be it. Yep.
5 miles, 8K of Tough Mudder.
Yep. We'll see how it goes.
That's fantastic.
All right. So what are we going to be talking about next week? I guess we kind of previewed it already when we said nothing.
It's going to be a lot of Blue Jays. It's going to be, they won the series against the Yankees, but we're getting closer and closer to the trade deadline. So it's going to be a lot of Blue Jays and the fun. I don't want to go generic, but the fun, compelling sports stories. It's going to be more big picture stuff.
I want to talk a lot about movies because I'm really disappointed in this summer in movies. And I want to ask the big question, what is wrong with movies? And why are there no great sports movies?
Ooh, that's huge.
Yeah, well, that's why it's the big question.
That's coming up next week. Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.